Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on May 11th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and we also rock. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
You can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show, and we also rock. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing on this rockin' day?
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back, yeah.
Right. Right. You were in what? Florida?
I was in New York. I was in New Jersey. I was in Florida. I did the whole East Coast tour visiting all the family.
Right.
Yes. It was a great time. I got to spend Mother's Day with my mother.
Yes.
Yeah. So I got to see everybody. So it was a great trip. But it's always good to come home.
Yes. Yes.
To the South Bay.
That's a long trip.
It is. It is. A lot of flights. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's great to have you back. Although we had some amazing guest hosts while you were gone, it was fantastic.
I listened. They were all terrific. Yes. Thank you for filling in for me while I was gone.
Yes, thank you, Gloria. Thank you to
Mikey,
Rabe,
Kelly
Stroman. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was great. So now we're going to talk about something that, yes, you were right. I remember you telling me, Joe, you're going to like this. You're really going to like this. And, yes, I really do like this. We have, the opportunity to talk about something. And this is, as I've been reading articles about this. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. It's any concert does involves multiple generations, and not just one or two, but sometimes three and four generations. Really, literally, it's that impactful, and everyone from the first to the last remembers how they first heard the band's music and what an impact it made on their lives. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Dave Meros, vocalist and bass guitarist from the band Iron Butterfly. Dave provides the heavy bass lines Iron Butterfly is famous for. He is best known as the bass player for the rock band Spock's Beard. He has also played with such artists as Eric Burdon, Bobby Kimball of Toto, Simon Phillips, Steve Lukather, Glenn Hughes, and Mark Lindsay of Paul Revere and the Raiders. Now, the Los Angeles music climate of the late 60s and 70s was characterized by the heavy sounds and sentiments that reflected the revolutionary attitudes of the generation. Bursting onto that scene was Iron Butterfly, whose sound not only epitomized the hard attitudes of the youth with its heavy drumming and bass lines, but also embraced more delicate aspirations through its intricate guitar and keyboard overlays. Their first album, aptly titled Heavy, stayed on Billboard's album charts for almost a year. They followed up with the monumental LP, Inagata De Vida, which outsold every record in the history of recorded music within the first year of its release and outgrew and outsold the standard of the music industry's Gold Album Award, which was awarded the industry's – they were awarded the industry's very first platinum album. Now, to date, the album has sold in excess of 30 million copies and remains an undisputed classic in the archives of rock with DJs and audiophiles worldwide. So, Joe, as our listeners know, we've had dozens of musicians and bands on the show over the last 5 years, but this is like our first real authentic rock star.
Right.
And I understand that they're playing at St. Rock. I think it's tomorrow night, Thursday. Welcome to the program, Dave. We are thrilled you could join us this morning.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's, I know, you know, there's so many, I've been reading these articles, in particular this one article from last year's Lobster Festival where you guys played. And it's just, it must get kind of tiresome. Well, Dave, what's it like to be a rock icon?
I don't know, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it like? And what do you do, Dave, when someone who's, I don't know, 60 or 70 years old walks up to you and says on your music? What is that like?
Well, it's pretty natural because I did too. I mean, I'm 60.
Okay.
And I grew up on the music,
then.
So, you know, yeah. So I fully understand the question.
Even if it's 80 or 90, I mean, the band had such an impact, and we're talking, you know, 1968. So there's any age, absolutely any age, people are going to be affected by what Iron Butterfly started. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of... you know, rock music has reached that age now where, you know, it's three generations. We have, like you said earlier, there's multi-generations coming to our show. There's you know, older people maybe in their 60s or 70s and all the way down to their grandchildren sometimes.
Right, or great-grandchildren, right.
Yeah, they got early starts.
Yeah.
Which happened a lot back then.
Probably to your music.
Right.
There's something deep in, you know, there are various genres of music, boxes that people try to put music in. You know, everything from, you know, the original soul music, R&B, rhythm and blues to heavy metal to classical,
grunge.
Punk,
new wave,
but your music. I mean, I was listening to some of the old songs, and there was a lot of ballading going on. I mean, straight up, you know, almost like Frank Sinatra sounding ballading singing going on. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, that was pretty standard back in the 60s. I mean, you listen to the early Beatles, and a lot of it doesn't sound rock at all by today's standards.
Right.
I remember thinking that Do You Want to Know a Secret was kind of a rock ballad when I was a little kid.
Right.
And you listen to it now and it's very kind of a cute, sappy ballad. And, you know, it was just kind of, that was the beginnings of rock. I mean, that was considered a very valid thing to do back then. And not un-rock at all.
There are so many things, so many places to go, but let's start with today. Let's start with what Iron Butterfly is doing today. Who are the members of the band Iron Butterfly?
Well, besides myself, we have Phil Parlapiano on keyboards and lead vocals, and he does a really good job of doing the Doug Engel thing. In fact, he is often mistaken for Doug because he kind of looks like him too. Mm. And then we've got Eric Barnett on lead vocals also and guitar, who was actually in Iron Butterfly with all of the original members for a period of, I don't know, 10 or 12 years.
Mm.
And he really also does a great job at covering the official, you know, the classic parts.
Right.
Then Mike Green, who's actually the leader of the band, he's percussion and vocals, and Ray Weston on drums, a Scottish guy who played in Wishbone Ash for a number of years.
Right. A famous band on its own.
Yeah.
No question. Well, this is the thing. I mean, you guys are a band in and of yourself with talent. I mean, you guys have history in the music industry like few bands, each of you individually, and together now you're Iron Butterfly. Where do you see the legacy of Iron Butterfly going from this day forward? What do you see in the future?
Well, we're just hoping to get started by booking some good shows, you know, doing the kind of shows that the classic rock generation would attend.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, not rave clubs or anything, but, you know, maybe casinos, fairs, festivals, that kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, since the beginning of this version of the band, we've been talking about putting out something new that's in the spirit of the old. And it would be really, really fun to do that. So, you know, we're just kind of waiting till we get a little bit more established. And, Phil and I have already been throwing around a couple little ideas. And, you know, maybe something new will come out at some point.
That's fantastic. That would be a wonderful way to begin the new generation on Iron Butterfly. And when it comes to releasing music, just because I know a lot of people are interested in the business of music today, are you guys thinking of doing it in any unusual way? Like I have friends whose two sons are in a local band today, Temporal Love, and they released their first album on vinyl because these guys are, you know, dipped in
right.
vinyl, and that's what they wanted to do. They didn't release it online or on SoundCloud or anything like that. They determined and demanded to do a vinyl album because they're young and they just never had done that before. How are you guys thinking about doing it?
Well, we haven't really thought about it that much, but, you know, these days you kind of have to do something unusual.
Right.
There is no order of events that has to take place anymore or that have to take place anymore. The music industry is just on its ear right now. I mean, no one knows what works and what doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And the more creative and out of the box that you can be, the better chance you have. And it's vinyl, releasing on vinyl would be absolutely perfect. That's a great idea for Iron Butterfly because, you know, it's that kind of a band. You can have the giant artwork on vinyl too, which would also be great, you know,
right.
do something real psychedelic. So, you know, that's it. Thanks for the idea. That's great.
Yeah. And let me say, these guys, Temporal Love, I just want to mention their name again for all the people that are listening to this. They're an awesome throwback, and they're all like, you know, they weren't even thought of when Iron Butterfly was
yeah.
Is this the young band?
Yeah.
These are the young kids, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are
kids. You know, what's old is new again. It
right.
You know, what goes around comes around eventually. I mean, now we see that vinyl, you know, I go into stores now and there are record players and vinyl LPs out.
Right.
But since we're speaking about the business, Dave, can you explain a little bit? I've never understood this. When you have a band that's established and there's a couple aspects to this. Members leave the band or somebody passes away and a new member comes in. And then over the years, you know, maybe there's not any original members of the band left in the original band, from the original band. Who controls that? Who owns the band? Are record companies still involved? Can you explain a little bit of that?
Well, it's almost every possible combination that you can imagine happens. Normally what happens is there's one guy in the band that will control the name. A lot of times it's the guy that started the band. If not, it kind of gets passed around to the last, you know, legally. I mean, there's been a lot of these cases that have been taken to court and the name is eventually awarded to the person that works the name the most. Like if there is a version of the band that works a lot and the rest of the members aren't working, they just quit and went on to do other things. The guy that still is touring with the band and working to maintain the name, he usually is awarded the name eventually, if it ever becomes a problem. In this case, Ron and Lee owned the name, and then Lee passed away a couple of years ago, so Ron is the sole proprietor of the name, mm-hmm. and he licensed it to Mike. Ron was originally going to be in the band, but he has some pretty heavy health issues that he's trying to recover from, so he called Mike and said, look, I want this thing to continue, and you know, Ron has been there kind of every step of the way, making sure it's done right. And, you know, so in that case, that's how the name settled. And it's pretty common for that way to happen, too. But, you know, sometimes the record company owns the name. Sometimes a law firm owns the name. You know, sometimes it's a situation where everyone in the band has to be involved or no one can use the name. I mean, it just depends on. It's like a prenuptial agreement almost. It right. just depends on how it's laid out.
Right.
So a lot of lawyers involved.
This is
well, sometimes, you know, hopefully not.
Hopefully not, yeah.
Yeah, because I know that, Joe, doesn't the band Kiss, don't they have another band without the Kiss members that play as Kiss?
You mean like stand-ins or doubles?
Yeah, well, I think they advertise them as Kiss.
Gene Simmons has often said that, you know, there could be 10 different entities playing as Kiss around the world that they would license and they would approve
right.
and all that
right.
Because he knows that he can't get around and get it done. And I think that's what they're doing. That's their business model. Like Dave was saying, there's different business models. Kiss has decided franchising
right.
works for them, right?
Right. Okay.
And of course, with all
there's one of the old Motown bands. I can't remember which one it is, the Spinners or something. There's like three or four different versions of them.
Yeah. It's so fascinating what is going on with the music industry now. Remember the big hullabaloo about Taylor Swift pulling her music out of iTunes.
Right.
Because Apple wasn't allowing, the first 3 months or whatever were free and Apple wasn't paying royalties to small bands during those first 3 months.
Right.
And they
right.
really need that money. And Taylor said, no, that's not right. You're going to change it or I'm out. And and Apple said, okay, I'm sorry.
they didn't say okay to the FBI, but they said okay to Taylor Swift, right?
Oh, yeah. So, and of course, this was when Prince was still alive. And I think Taylor said he called her like out of the blue. Taylor, Prince is on the line and he thanked her for, you know, standing up for the small people, the small bands and the new and up and coming bands. And that whole thing is out there that record labels and companies like iTunes, Apple and iTunes understand that they're not going to be able to push bands around too much because the bigger names really are kind of almost banding together like a union or a brotherhood or whatever, sisterhood, and trying to protect the music industry as a whole for the artists. There's going to be something else. There'll be some final arrangement, I'm sure, that comes up. Dave, you know, we can't go much longer with all this talking without playing a little music. So what we got to do is play a little music here. First of all, I've got a selection, really excerpts from a gig that you guys played in August of last year at the Coach House.
Okay.
And so we're going to hear an excerpt of that performance. And can you tell me anything about that experience? Was there anything that stands out in your mind, the Coach House, August of last year?
Nothing really outstanding. It was, I remember having fun. I played there a lot over the years and I really like that place. It's got a certain vibe to it.
Mm.
But no, there was nothing crazy that went on, or you know, nothing.
Okay, I've got so many things in my head that I should not say. I'm trying to. I know, Jack.
Don't.
I'm trying to control myself here. Dave Maros and Iron Butterfly at the Coach House. for me, Dave, what I hear when I listen to this is I hear every band in the Pantheon. I mean, if it's Sly and the Family Stone or Santana, or they were all influenced by Iron Butterfly, weren't they?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Iron Butterfly was almost like proto-metal, proto-prog rock. You know, you can hear, I mean, even the Beatles said that, Ringo said that his drum solo on the, I don't know, whatever that song was, in Abbey Road, was almost a direct ripoff of Ron's solo. And, there was a lot of mixing going on back in the 60s. Bands would hear other bands and think it was really cool and use that as a stepping stone for their thing. And
right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Iron Butterfly did touch a lot of bases.
It's so wonderful to talk about it. It's so wonderful to hear it, and I imagine that you're thrilled about this. Tell me a little bit about Dave Maros. I mean, wife, kids. Tell us a little.
No, well, I'm married, wife, but no kids.
Okay.
I have a lot of fur babies, you know, cats and stuff. And living up in the Sacramento area. In fact, I got to get off the horn pretty quick, and I got a flight to catch down to L.A.
Oh.
And I haven't packed yet, of course.
Oh.
So, anyway, yeah, I lived in L.A. for 17, 18 years, and a few years ago moved back up here. I'm from Northern California originally.
Yeah.
Started playing music when I was 9 years old, but that was piano,
mm-hmm.
and studied classical piano for a number of years, and got into high school, and, you know, piano was not cool, so I started playing horns, brass instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, somebody just told me I was going to start playing bass in their band, and so that's how I started playing bass. And as soon as I picked up the bass, it was like, oh, dear, you know, I should have done this originally. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fast forward, and I'm 60 and still doing it. I don't know what happened. My life took a... I was going to UC Berkeley as a business major, and I don't know, I guess I took a left at Albuquerque or something and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
became a musician. I've tried to quit a few times, but it's like the mafia. They just pull you back in.
I need you to do me a favor. I need a favor.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, hey, I just got an offer I can't refuse. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I guess maybe you'd call it luck or the opposite of luck. You know, every time I've really needed a gig, one has come along. So
yeah, I was reading the article about the band Iron Butterfly playing at the Lobster Festival last year, and it's about 50 years of music, and basically there's so many quotes, but the one quote that stands out in red, which is obviously the quote, is, "This is more than just a band. This is Iron Butterfly."
That's great.
React to
that. Well, that's what we want.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we want, because, you know, the situation with us with you know, there's been so many versions of Iron Butterfly, and you know, it's over the years, there's been a lot of personnel changes, and so we don't want it to be about, is, you know, a certain guy here or not. We want it to be the band experience.
Mm.
And so that quote is perfect. That's exactly what we want.
Right. Yeah, it is so true. And I'm just thrilled to be able to talk about it and maybe even see you guys. You know, I've seen some amazing acts of all different descriptions at St. Rock, and now you guys are going to be there. It's a great little venue. It really is so intimate, and we always get a few of the Hollywood crowd coming down when there's a band like Iron Butterfly, so it's going to be a really fun night. It's tomorrow, Thursday night, at St. Rock. Oh, my God, how can you miss that?
Yeah, come on down.
Come on down.
And don't forget, you guys come up and say hi, too. I want to,
oh yeah,
you know,
of course.
Meet you guys in person.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, man. I really would appreciate that. And I have to tell you, my favorite story about it is the Manhunter story. The filmmaker was really, really conflicted about what music the villain in the story. Manhunter was 1986, quite a long time ago, but it was the story that first featured Hannibal Lecter in a major movie done by the now gone Brian Cox. But his depiction of Dr. Hannibal Lecter led to the depiction of Dr. Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs by Sir Anthony. And that obviously won Sir Anthony an Oscar. But in the cave, in the underground lair of the bad guy, and it's dark, and the hero is going to be, you know, maybe killed by the bad guy. And of course, what is he playing at the top of, you know, at 11? He's playing In a Gata Da Vida, right? Absolutely. That's the only song he could possibly be playing. And, of course, the original song was a whole side of an album, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just, I listened to the whole thing last night, and it's there's so much stuff there in terms of styles and experiments and just trying to do whatever they could do to, you know, make it new and fresh and different. And so it still sounds somewhat new and fresh and different every time you hear it.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's just really cool. Psychedelic and cool. Right. And that's always something that people will enjoy listening to because, you know, it's really strongly that. And there's a lot, you know, it's classic rock, I think, happened a lot. There was a classical period in music where all of the, you know, what we know as classical music came, and that had a beginning. And everyone's still listening to that today and enjoying those original artists, you know, Beethoven and Brahms and Haydn and, you know, all those guys. They were within that beginning period. And I think the same thing happened to rock music. There is that first 10, 20 years of rock music that's going to be kind of held all the way into the future.
Right. Because you can never be first a second time, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, speaking of In a Gata Da Vida, Dave, you know, I read something on the internet about how that title came about, but as we all know, just because it's on the internet doesn't necessarily make it true. So can you tell us how...
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you.
Can you tell us how that song title came to be?
Well, that's probably what you read. It was a drunken slur that was misheard. Doug was at home drinking wine and writing music, and I think it was Ron who was out doing something. He came back in really late, and Doug was, you know, pretty hammered. And he's sitting there, Ron, I just wrote this killer song. Check it out. And he played it. And Ron goes, that's awesome. What's it called? And he said, In the Garden of Eden. But he slurred it pretty bad. And Ron goes, wow, what a, he didn't say anything, but he just thought, what a cool, weird title. And he wrote it down, In a Gata Da Vida. And then the next day, he said, that's great. You know, that In a Gata Da Vida. And it's like, what? I said, no, that's not what I meant, but that's better than what I had said, so let's go with that.
Right. Right.
Okay, so something on the internet was true. All right.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it just works. I'm looking at the original cover and album cover art, and it just works. It's something otherworldly about it. And also I have to say, you know, Dave, it isn't just about the music. And it isn't just about, you know, you guys getting the very first platinum album. They had to invent a new category for the sales of In a Gata Da Vida. But it's...
Yeah, that's trippy.
Isn't that crazy? They had to invent a new category of sales because they didn't understand what was going on. But I think if there's something deep in the mind, there's something literary about the name Iron Butterfly that sticks, because there's the best of Iron Butterfly, and it says light and heavy. The best of Iron Butterfly, light and heavy. Well, Iron Butterfly,
right.
Light, heavy, and then heavy. That whole heavy metal or heavy, the name of the first album was Heavy. What a legacy you guys started. Or they started.
Yeah. Well,
you weren't
going
born
back
then,
to the topic,
hardly.
Yo, I was born. I remember the first time
old?
I heard something like that. Yeah, exactly 10 years old. I remember I was actually a smaller kid at a teenager party, and there were a few of us preteens there, and somebody brought Inagata Davida and put it on, and like, we just clustered around the little record player, just like, what is this? Mm-hmm. The coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, going back to that cross-pollinization thing, about how Iron Butterfly may have influenced other bands, mm-hmm. Led Zeppelin was, they got their name from Iron Butterfly because they thought that was a really cool concept, the heaviness and the metal,
right.
And then the lightness. And so, you know, Led Zeppelin, Iron Butterfly.
Right.
I mean, they said that in an interview. You know, it's like, how do you get the name? It's like, well, you know, we really like the name Iron Butterfly, so
right.
We kind of borrowed that concept.
You know, I had heard that before, but I had forgotten it, and now I'm remembering it. And the thing is, there's thousands of things like that, stories about people being influenced by Iron Butterfly that would, you know, probably blow our minds. I don't know, somebody like, I'm thinking of like Andrea Bocelli or some, you know, like opera singer or something being influenced by Iron Butterfly. I'm sure that there's 1,000 stories like that. Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've talked a little bit about the future, but I want to give you an opportunity to really just, again, tell us where people can get in touch with Iron Butterfly and where they can follow the band, and what about that?
Well, there's a few ways. Of course, there's ironbutterfly.com,
mm-hmm.
and that has all of our you know, information, including tour dates. And then there's the Iron Butterfly on Facebook. We also have a kind of a forum that's called the Iron Butterfly Collective on Facebook. And, you know, that's where fans interact and share stories and photos and that kind of thing. So, you know, you can join that. So there's, that's the main three ways.
Right. Okay. So I see ironbutterfly.com, and then there's ironbutterflyband.com. And they go to the same place. You can't miss it. Even if you're hammered, just find Google and type in Iron Butterfly. You'll get it. Don't worry about it. And so you can get on the list. You'll get emails, right, about what you guys are doing and where you're going. Are you guys, do you tour out of the country very often?
The band has. In the last year or two, we haven't.
Yeah.
But they're working on that.
Yeah. My goodness. There's some wonderful things coming up, of course, tomorrow in Hermosa Beach at St. Rock. But San Juan Capistrano, Agoura Hills, Pasadena. I love that place, the Rose. Or the Canyon is one of my favorites in Agoura Hills. It's like a cowboy bar. But the Canyon is really special. I've never been to the Yellowstone Beer Fest, but that should be interesting. Cody, Wyoming.
I know.
That should be cool. Have you guys ever done that before?
No, I didn't even know it existed before.
Yes, that's awesome. Yellowstone Beer Fest 2015. Okay.
And, we might have to go.
This sounds really cool. And then the Tomahawk, Wisconsin Tomahawk Fall Ride for MDA. Sounds like a function that's raising money for something.
It's a motorcycle ride. You know, like they do. There's a lot of those things going on now. A lot of bikers will do a big ride and collect pledges and stuff for a charity.
Right. So MDA Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. That's a full schedule.
We have to give a shout out to the team over at St. Rock.
Right.
You know, I'm just, you know, Joe, that on my website, I, you know, post all the upcoming events and stuff. You know, St. Rock is not only producing the concerts, the Hermosa Beach concerts on the beach every year, in addition to what, you know, the great bands and stuff they're bringing into Hermosa at St. Rock. But I just posted something last week where they're also producing the Music on the Meadows down at the Terranea. You know, their new summer thing, Music on the Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
They're producing that. They're producing everything all over the South Bay. It's so great. It's so great that they've stepped up and done this.
That is cool.
It is cool. It's an interesting business model, too, because the owner of St. Rock, his idea is to collect, you know, the producers, not producers, I don't know what you call them, I guess bookers, agents, that get all of these bands and contact them and get their schedules arranged and put, you know, great lines of bands together, like Iron Butterfly.
Didn't they do the Lobster Festival too last year? They produced that as well.
Yeah, I think so. It's a great idea to have one entity that has all that talent and contacts that can put really great shows together, and you know, not just one show, but show after show after show after show that all have a theme to them. Dave, this is really a wonderful thing. It definitely seems like Iron Butterfly could go on for some time. You guys should start a foundation, the Iron Butterfly Foundation or something, that will continue the legacy, because we don't want this to stop ever, Dave.
Well, great. That's another good idea. See, you guys are just a treasure trove of great ideas.
Yeah, because, you know, what happens is you have a nonprofit or a foundation, all of the intellectual property, the website, the domain names, the name, all that is owned by the foundation. The members will own that until perhaps they pass away, then their heirs will own some portion or percentage of it. But the foundation and its mission continues forever. And
yeah, maybe we can get Bill Gates to sponsor it or something.
Maybe, because I'll bet he's a fan. I mean, there's no one from our age group. I'm 56. There's no one from our age group. I was young when the band started. But of course, they were a part of my life as well, and just everyone's life at that time. It was in the air.
For those of us that are just a little bit younger,
yeah.
I just have to put a shout out to, like, you know, the older brothers and sisters, because that's where I got most of my musical influence from. I had a sister that was 10 years older than me. I have a sister that is 10 years older than me.
Right.
And she was playing all this music from the time I was an infant.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I grew up with all of this music. You know, people are like, well, how can you remember that? I'm like, I had an older sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, Dave, if you have
I have one more thing. I'm just gonna throw this out there.
Yeah.
Dave may not answer us. He may not answer us, and that's okay. But I have to. So I understand that tomorrow night's show at St. Rock, you guys are going to be announcing the headliners for this year's Lobster Fest. Is that true?
I don't know.
Oh, so he can't tell us.
No, it could very well be, but I don't even know.
Okay.
Mike, you know, Mike probably knows that, but,
right.
You know.
I think it's a state secret, but
okay.
I was going to try anyway.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, you live in the Bay Area, Dave?
No, I live in Sacramento.
Sacramento. You're flying
yeah.
down. I just wanted to play... I not the whole 17 minutes, but I just wanted to play a little of the first one. Do you want to hang around for that, or
I really gotta get going.
Right.
I got a flight.
Dave
I don't want to miss that.
Dave Maros, not only am I thrilled that you you offered. I'm definitely going to seek you out to shake your hand, man. But what you guys are doing feels so good for me and my 21-year-old son. It feels so good to share something with him, this important and this good feeling. Thank you so much, Dave, for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we're having a lot of fun doing it, too. You know, it's great to play this music. And, you know, the more we got involved in it, the more we liked it, you know, because it's just you appreciate when you take it apart to learn it.
Right.
You appreciate it even more, you know, and it's not like that for every band. Sometimes you go to learn it and you just go, this is very simple, or this is, you know, kind of dumb. I'm tired of it now that I've learned it.
Mm-hmm.
But Iron Butterfly, it's the opposite. It's like the more you dig into it, the more little things you find. So, you know, it's maybe not just fun for you guys. It's very satisfying for us as well.
Right. It, like you were saying, it's classic in the greatest sense of the classic, like Beethoven, Brahms, Schubert. It's something that lasts forever in that they were first. Iron Butterfly was first. And first can never be second. And second can never be first. Thank you so much, Dave Maros. Enjoy your flight. Have a safe flight, man. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Now,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Dave. And Jackie, do you want to bring in Bobby now, or
let's do Bobby. Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic, man. I'm still.
We were just talking to Dave Maros of Iron Butterfly, Bobby. We're doing great.
I was listening to. I'll do that, and I can confirm that tomorrow night, in the middle of the show, they are going to announce the headliners for this year's Lobster Festival. Also, during that show, if you go to that show, you're going to get a discount code that we're going to put on our social media as well, starting Thursday night, for the cheapest ticket price to this year's Lobster Fest. It's going to be a $7 ticket, and it's just good till the end of May. So if you go to the Iron Butterfly, you're going to get first chance at this discount ticket, and you're going to find out who the headliners are.
$7, did you say?
$7. It's just entry. It's $7 for entry into the festival this year. It's the cheapest ticket possible. And once you get the code, it's only good till the end of May. So you have to act pretty fast. It's a $7 ticket. It's a special we're doing just to kick everything off in a big way this year, because we're super excited about the bands that we have. I know who they are, and I can't wait for you guys to find them out as well.
Oh, come on, Bobby. Spill the beans. Spill the beans, Bobby.
Yeah, you don't have to give us the code, but maybe one name. Whoa.
I wish I'd come up with an anagram or something that I could hint to you guys with, but I'm just not that quick on my feet. I'm afraid we're all just going to have to wait till tomorrow night when they announce it. But in the meantime, we've got a lot of great stuff going on in the city. Besides just gearing up for the Lobster Fest, we're in the middle of a huge festival season that's already underway. This weekend is the Beach Cities Wine and Beer Fest. That's going to be Saturday from 2 to 6. And then next weekend we have two festivals. We have the Walkabout Redondo, which is the North Redondo Walkabout, which is a free barbecue lunch where you get a punch card, walk around, meet a lot of businesses. They have special deals going on. And then there's raffle prizes at the end for things like an iPad Air. And then that's Saturday, and then starting at 10 a.m. And then Sunday is the King Harbor Sea Fair, which is one of my favorite events in the area for the year. It's Sunday at noon, and it's an awesome way to bring the family out, play on the water. They're going to have demonstrations. Last year they brought tall ships in. It's a really, really cool experience. So those are both next weekend.
That was great. That tall ship was fantastic.
It's so exciting to see that, and then three of us got to take a ride on it, so that was really exciting. Then, as far as the community goes, I mean, there's just so much going on this month. I highly recommend if anyone visiting Redondo Beach, lives in Redondo Beach, check out visitredondo.com, go to events. There's so much going on this month that there's not enough time to talk about it all. Like, for instance, this weekend is the 9th annual Redondo Beach Firefighters Community Spaghetti Dinner. It takes place at 4 p.m. It's going to be 4 to 8. It's a great way to see the city and then have firefighters make spaghetti for you. And I don't know about you guys, but where I grew up, there was like this this kind of unknown there's this like a kind of unwritten rule that firefighters made the best spaghetti. So
yeah.
I'm really excited about taking part in that event.
And that doesn't that coincide with the firefighters open house?
It does. It does. Open house
yeah,
is
so
directly
can...
before it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so come to the open house starting at 10 a.m. and stick around for the spaghetti dinner, which starts at 4 p.m. But I could take out the rest of your hours. I'm just going to kind of burn through some stuff. Like I said, there's so much going on. Check out our events page. I need to get to some of the chamber events. Tomorrow there's a network cafe at the Chart House. That's going to be a midday cafe, so 11:30 to 1 p.m. Then, of course, next Friday is what we've been talking about all month. Congressman Ted Lieu is going to be in town. He's going to have a presentation at the Crown Plaza. It's Friday, May 20th at 7:30 a.m., so it's early, but it's a great chance to get in front of our congressman. And then finally this month, on the 25th, there's a new member orientation for the chamber, followed by a mixer. It's going to take place at the chamber patio, and that's going to be an evening mixer, so 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. That's what all is going on in Redondo Beach that I have time to talk about. But make sure you check out RedondoChamber.org events and visit Redondo.com events see everything that's going on in the city. Now, before I leave, I know you're going to ask me about the wedding page, and I'm really excited to announce some stuff that we have coming up. We're working with all the members, all the wedding members, to put out special guides on how to make your wedding better using their services. For instance, the best way to keep a good relationship between yourself and your wedding planner, or five flowers that are native to the area that should be in every bouquet. All that kind of stuff is going to start rolling out at the end of this month, beginning of next month. And I'm really excited because the members are excited. It's a great way. What our goal right now is to tie in Redondo Beach, not only as a beach destination, but as something that you want to be a part of your wedding. We've got so many interesting things here. We're a gorgeous view, but we've got so many interesting things going on and so many interesting things in the community, from craft beer to locally made wine.
Right.
So we just want to make sure we're getting that in front of everybody.
There's something so fundamental about our topic today, Iron Butterfly, light and heavy, the fact that Led Zeppelin copied the meme of their name because they wanted light and heavy, Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
There's something really special, Bobby, about what you guys are doing with RedondoBeachWeddings.org. I'm looking at the page Ideal Experiences, and it goes through rehearsal dinners, cultural celebrations, renewals, reception, romantic adventures, bachelor and bachelorette. You go through all the categories and you talk about, you know, what you should focus on. You're going to make people's weddings better. You're making people's weddings better than they would have been without RedondoBeachWeddings.org.
Stop. You're making me blush.
I'm sorry. This is a classic.
Well,
oh
so
my God.
Yeah, that's,
it's light and it's heavy.
It's light and it's heavy.
Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Bobby. Christian.
There's one more thing coming up this weekend, another big event that's not on anybody's calendar but mine.
What?
My birthday.
What? Happy birthday.
Saturday, May 14th. Yeah, there's about 50 things that I can be doing that day, and I can't make up my mind. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was at the big one.
Thank you, Bobby.
Happy birthday, Jackie.
Not yet.
I was at the big one, so I was there for the big party.
Oh,
all right. Nobody 21? Needs to know that number.
Well,
something like that.
Yeah, right. The new 21. Bobby Christian, Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitor. When was the first time that you heard Inagata De Vida, that you remember hearing that song? When was the first time?
I mean, I grew up, my dad had a pretty extensive vinyl collection, so I think I heard it. It had to be middle school was the first time I really got into that song. I was in a cover band, and I loved Inagata De Vida. it's so easy to play. So that helped me in middle school, but so much fun. Yeah. I love that song. I was really excited. Last year, I actually brought my dad out for the Lobster Festival so he could see Iron Butterfly. It was like a great experience. So I love Iron Butterfly.
There you go. Intergenerational.
So you brought your dad and your wife and your new baby.
Yeah.
Three
year, generations.
Maybe.
Okay. She was too small to bring last year. Okay. They don't make earplugs that small.
Yeah, they don't make earplugs that small.
Yeah.
That's what it's about now. It's Iron Butterfly is so classic that it is bringing generations together. Did your dad have a good time?
Oh, my dad, I've never seen my dad dance like he danced. He loved it. It was the Lobster Festival last year was like a completely different, it was like a all new festival. It was like a rebirth of the festival, I felt like last year. It was a fantastic thing. And so I was excited to share the entire festival with him. But when Iron Butterfly came on, he was like, this is the music that everyone should be making. This is good music. He was really excited. So.
It's endless what you can say about them, and their influence is legendary and complete. They seriously, literally influenced everyone in the music business at some point or another, in one way or another. Bobby Christian of the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau, thank you for joining us today.
Have a great day, and have a great birthday. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you. Well, I'm almost spent. What a great opportunity to lay down a conversation with a current member of Iron Butterfly. It's just amazing. What an institution. I seriously think it should be a foundation. It should be an institution. I mean, you know, obviously they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they need to continue this. And you don't, you know, want something like this to, you know, devolve into lots and lots of weird cover bands that do it kind of like they did before. Mm. Not
well, you better be careful, Joe. Otherwise, you're going to be leaving me and getting a job as their manager.
Yes. Oh, my God. Is that what I'm going to end up doing? Well, Jackie, I just have to the outro for our show today has to be the original 1968 version of Inagata De Vida.
All right.
Jackie, it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
What
good
a great
to be back. Good
you.
To be back.
It's wonderful having you back, and we have some great shows lined up, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. So please join us. But here is the 1968 version, Inagata De Vida.
Don't you know that I'm always the truth?